The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And what a crew it is. We are in my favorite place on the planet Earth. We are now here at Sawgrass. The Marriott Sawgrass hosts us every year for the Players' Championship. We're back in March, again, where we belong. Started it back last year. We're happy to be here. Frank Bassett joining you. Tim Matthews is on sabbatical today, but I have some very special people with me this morning, so let's get right to it. Diane Knox from Secret Golf is with us.
Good morning.
Hi, Gar. I'm so glad to have you here. That's so cool.
I walked in today. You were all making fun of me because I was just so happy. This is my favorite week of the year. We're all back together. We're back in the Sawgrass Marriott. We're in our usual location. You see the same faces coming by every year. It's like we haven't seen each other for a while. And we're going to have a fabulous week of golf. As you just said, the Players' Championship being in March. It's the perfect time of year for it. And we have lots to talk about.
We're not going to have the north winds, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Yeah. But let's jump over to our good friend and a great sponsor of this show from the French Lick Resort, Mr. Brendan Sweeney.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we played Marsh Landing yesterday.
There was many a wind blowing yesterday.
You shot an 80. I shot a 77.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a good day.
Got a great eraser on the scorecard.
It was a good day. We cheated the whole round, didn't we?
It was great. It was great. Actually, great seeing all your old mates there. You were an original member at that course.
I was
way back in the day.
Member number 38 in that club.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Sterling.
Worked the locker room forever. Sterling and I are great mates. He's a great guy.
Speaking of great mates.
He's sitting across the table from us. The man. The one and only Mr. Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel.
Hey guys. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
I'm good. Just made the drive to Sawgrass here.
2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah, like Noxie was saying, this is such a cool event. I mean, you've got a great golf course that's become iconic on the PGA Tour. You've got, in my opinion, the best championship field in golf. There are no club pros. There are no amateurs in this field. Yeah. These are the best of the best. And you've got a great crowd here that just energizes this place each and every year. And we have friends like yourselves, and we come here, and after we cover golf all day, we hydrate and go to bed, rinse and repeat.
Yes.
Rinse and repeat.
Frank needs no encouragement.
Easy.
I mean, it is a social week, you definitely make the most of that.
Yes, I do. It's don't tell the IRS. No, we have a great we have a great time here, and seeing all our old friends. As I say all the time, I lived here for many, many years across the street in Sawgrass Country Club. Todd, we went over yesterday, and Brendan and I played Marsh Landing, which it started in 1986,
right.
Was built here, and the man who worked the locker room when I joined as a member is still there. Sterling still works in the locker room. And I walk in the door, and the first thing he said was, "Oh, my God, I've seen a ghost." He started hollering, "Frank Bassett is in the house." I said, "Sterling, be quiet. I don't think I paid my last bill before I left town."
Oh, we paid a pretty good one yesterday after we left.
Oh, we dropped a lot of money in Marsh
Landing
yesterday.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Anyway,
I'm a great
guest. Todd, I want to get right to it. Let's talk about Bay Hill. I mean, the carnage. That I've never seen that course play that difficult.
You know, it's interesting you say carnage, and I've heard that word a couple of times on PGA Tour Radio driving up here this morning, and I guess it's how you define it. I just say it's a stiffer test. I don't necessarily think it's carnage. I think a lot of these players sometimes get used to 67, 68 every time they tee it up, just about. And now they've just run into Mother Nature, they run into a tough golf course that has 3 or 4 inch rough, and the test changes. And I just think that you have to be adjustable as a player, as a top class player, in these circumstances. They're red light, green light situations there. And so I wouldn't say it's carnage, I just think it's just a different test.
I would have to agree with that.
Do you think with the Honda, then Bay Hill, and then this week, this could be the 3 hardest weeks in a row?
Yeah, I'm interested to see this golf course. I haven't seen it yet. Like I mentioned, I just drove up. And if it is fast and firm as Bay Hill was, and Honda, and PGA National, this place, now this could be carnage. I mean, this golf course, it magnifies mistakes tremendously, maybe more than any other golf course on the PGA Tour. But if it's fast, hard, and firm, it would be really – it'll be the hardest of the last 3 weeks.
We were playing yesterday right across the street, and the winds were blowing consistently 20, 25 miles.
Now, they've changed the forecast.
Yeah, but the forecast changes daily here.
Well, that's true.
Like, it really does, especially with that wind.
I don't think we'll have the wind today or this week that we had last week. I don't think it's going to be
that.
Well,
remember, even last year, I mean, it was perfect weather for the whole week until Sunday. And then Sunday, it was freezing cold. It was windy. It was pouring rain from start to finish.
Which
is... That's what the weather... I mean, I live here, and we have not had good weather lately.
No, which is Pete Dye's design. I mean, play this course in March. The winds are from the north, usually, in this part of Florida.
Well, getting back to what you were talking about what's happened over the last 2 weeks, I didn't hear this, and maybe you guys did. Did you hear any player complain about the golf course?
No. Not a one.
Then there you go. Then they don't have really any right to complain. And actually, what I saw yesterday from a lot of players was they actually enjoyed this kind of different golf. Again, we'll try to get away from the word carnage.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a true test. I mean, it tests you mentally. It tests you, obviously, mechanically, strategically, emotionally. So, yeah.
And as a golf fan, I mean, I love seeing a winning score of 4 under par total. You know, you get a little bit bored of seeing 16, 17, 18 under for the winner. I love it when it's such a difficult test.
Yeah.
And, you know, the best example is Matt Every, round one, shot 7 under par, was leading, and then followed it up with, what was it, an 80?
Something in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, 83. I know, but, like, that just shows that it's difficult. It is a hard, hard course. Well, it's a hard course to play, difficult conditions, and it's actually more relatable for us, too.
Yeah. What is the normal? What is the normal winning score out there on the PGA Tour? Is there a normal? Should there be a normal?
No.
There
not
you go.
All.
Then
not
there you
all.
Go. So, okay, so they'll shoot 25 to 30 under in Palm Springs. Okay, that's great. Offensive golf. That's, you know, that's Showtime basketball. The Lakers back when Magic and James Worth. But then you've got the Detroit Pistons last week and shut everybody down with defense.
Pretty much.
So that, you know, it's
or
not
the Kentucky-Florida game that went down the other day. That was pretty good. The last time there was in this tournament, I cannot remember the year, but I remember the champion. It was David Duval. And he was the only player, I believe, under par. He was 1 under, and that was it. And it was TPC, the old days of the TPC, and it was in March. And I wish I could remember that year. Our statistician over the end of the table could probably pull that up.
I was playing Candy Crusher. Sorry.
Anyway, so, Todd, it's great to have you here, good to see you and your lovely wife and beautiful little girl. And we had fun at Bay Hill.
What's your agenda this week? What's on your typical Todd Lewis week?
I'm about to check in at the awesome Sawgrass Marriott, run by the best GM in all of hospitality.
Todd Hickey.
Yep. I'm going to give him a nice plug. And then I'm going to head right to the golf course. And we're going to live from tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. My personal duties, I'm in charge of primetime live from with Rich Lerner, Brandel Champlee, David Duval, and we lost Frank Nobilo, who's gone on to CBS, but replacing Frank will be Justin Leonard this year.
Oh, good.
So, in our primetime show. So looking forward to, as always, great information and entertainment.
You guys do a heck of a job.
It's fun. Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's you know, I say this a lot. We, us being at the Golf Channel, we are measured just like the players are, in that our performance at major championships or big events, and like this championship, That's where we stand out. And, you know, if you play well here, if you do well here, then that's what people are going to remember. And
sure.
So that's what we focus
on. And I think we're measured
the
same way.
We do it every week.
Yeah.
Well, we do it every week. But we really, you know, obviously these events are better.
Yeah, I think we're measured the same way, and our performance does stand out. There's no doubt about it.
Now, we had a big announcement this morning. Commissioner said that the landmark domestic media right deal came through, which is huge.
I believe NBC, Golf Channel, will do 8 events.
CBS
will do a big number
ESPN
of those events.
Is now
ESPN
a
Plus will be PGA Tour Live, and this is through 2030.
Yep.
So it's a 10-year deal.
Well, Golf Channel will do every event.
Yeah, you'll do every event.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
NBC Sports, or
right.
I guess the network, will be doing, I believe, 8 tournaments.
Something like that. Yeah. Yes.
But you guys still have every event. So.
Right. We're very proud. Very excited. You know, when I was fortunate to get fortunate enough to get an offer to work at the Golf Channel. It combined my two greatest passions, one being journalism and the other being golf. And to have it with our network, Golf Channel and NBC as our umbrella partner, I mean, we're super excited. I mean, we can continue to not only give the viewers what they have already enjoyed for decades, but also we want to grow with technology and try to give that viewer a wonderful experience as they're watching as well, and try to, you know, think outside the box a bit, like this week, you know, where you're going to see every player hit every shot. So that, I think
that's
really, really
going
cool.
to be incredible coverage. That's going to be great.
I mean,
well,
we saw
that
at the Masters last year, didn't we? And
exactly.
It was, that kind of set the benchmark. It was a game changer. I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
So how
with the coverage.
Can our listeners see that? How do they view this week to see every shot?
Well, through PGA Tour Live, I believe is exactly how you do
yes.
it. PGA Tour Live, and they
right.
can log on. I haven't seen the technology, and I'm looking forward to learning it this week. And, but I know through PGA Tour Live, and obviously our coverage Thursday, Friday, starting at early afternoon,
yeah.
and then going over into the weekend. So it's going to be cool. It's interesting to see all this play out, and if this is going to be the new norm a couple of years from now, that every player on every tournament. Byron Nelson, Honda Cloud, you know, if
well,
this
that
happens.
That comes into play with the gambling as well.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see
course.
How that works out.
Yeah.
But I think society,
it
now,
well
we,
for me yet.
The
Go
way
ahead.
That we want to consume our media is we want it on demand, and we want almost to be able to watch anything we want at any given time. And I think it's only right that golf is going to head in that direction. I mean, it has to, really, to keep
I
up.
I mean, fantasy golf is huge. I'm actually a fantasy golf player.
And so are we doing well?
We are not.
me
I and the frog
you.
In my pocket. But I'm constantly on my app, my PGA Tour app, and I star my players or players that I have that week and see how they perform. And, you know, but I think that's a huge deal.
I have a big pool this week. I have to pick 10 players.
So, 10 is hard. Yeah. That's a tricky number.
And they take the
number.
Combined money at the end. And
yeah.
So if you pick the winner, you're doing pretty well. But
who are you
who
looking
knows?
At?
Actually, I'm just looking at the odds right now. I just may pick the top 10 guys here. But you can't go wrong with Rory this week. Can't go wrong
with
the top
Ricky. Five machine.
Yeah. John Rahm.
But here's a great
Speed.
Stat on Rory.
Golf.
Rory is number one in the first round. He's number one, right? On Sunday, he's 79th. What's with that?
It's interesting. I want to go back to last year talking about Rory. Rory was under the mantra of, like, I want to, you know, not worry about the results, not, you know, treat the final round like it's a first round and so on. But as the year progressed, and I really think it really shifted for him at Port Rush at the Open, if you remember, he got that triple right out of the gate and ended up missing the cut. He had that same mentality. I'm going to treat the Open, even though it's in my home country, like it's just another round. But instead, subconsciously, he knew it wasn't, and he was conflicted. After that, he didn't think that, and that's why he played so well at the Tour Championship. He actually said that. He said, I learned a lot from Port Rush. I learned a lot going up against Brooks Koepka in Memphis when I tried to treat it like another. I can't do that. This is important, and so because of that, I need to shift and focus my mentality. Now, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's by coincidence or if he's I don't know if it's still subconsciously a part of him. He's having problems on the final round, and even though he says he feels like he's mentally tougher, it's hard to explain. I mean, he's got so much talent. I do think that he has depth and character and intelligence and emotion, and I he's struggling with that, and he knows it. And I don't know what the answer is to that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He did say that after RPR, Royal Port Rush, I should say. That he did feel some pressure being there, home course, home, you know, he just felt the local pressure after it was all over. So, and it showed. It did show.
Were you over there?
At Port Rush?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How was that? How was the atmosphere there? Crazy?
It was cold. cold and windy. And, yeah, the atmosphere was, those fans are tremendous.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, you know, the European crowds. And not knocking the American crowds, they're wonderful as well. But yeah, they're intelligent, they're knowledgeable as far as the game goes. They're respectful. So yeah, it's great. It's good fun.
It's going to be fun. It's a great segue to what our announcement is going to be today is that we will be
at the Irish Open with Club Choice Ireland, one of the finest travel companies across the pond, and we'll be covering the Irish Open at Mount Juliet in Kilkenny.
Probably never come home.
I'm a dual citizen with Ireland, so I'm very comfortable saying
I'm not.
So. Lexi, what do you think about these two in Ireland?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, do they have bail bondsmen in Ireland? I just want to know that.
No, and don't be calling me.
They
let
don't?
Me tell you that.
Well,
you're a Scotch. You don't count too much.
We're really good friends with the Irish, though. We love each other. We have a lot of commonalities. One of them being probably what you two are going to enjoy, and I'm not talking about the golf.
Exactly. Yeah, or the English.
We'll have a lot more about that as the next few shows progress.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask Todd something, because obviously you're out and about and you meet a lot of people, you hear a lot of things going on in this world. Tiger not playing the Players this week, didn't play at Bay Hill, out this week. It's the back again. Apparently it's nothing to worry about. It's just not ready. What do you think?
I think it is something to worry about.
Me too.
I got those vibes in Los Angeles when he was hosting the Genesis Invitational. Now, he and his team were saying that he had a lot of duties off the golf course, which he did, I understand. But frankly, I'm concerned in the fact that if you can't show up, if you can't get ready for a tournament and also show up at a pro-am pairings party and also have a cocktail hour the next day, and if that's so taxing on your back, then something's not right.
Yeah.
So I am concerned. I felt like he had so much momentum heading into 2020. I was in Japan when he won, and it was just electric. And the way he was swinging the golf club was in such control, and he is, you know, probably the greatest game manager ever, and I'm better than Jack Nicklaus. I thought, wow, he could win two or three times this year. Mm-hmm. And now I'm hoping he plays two or three times.
And talking about game management, I mean, let's be real, the Masters is next month, and he's looking to defend. Nobody can manage Augusta National better than Tiger.
Yeah.
That has to be the focus.
Last year.
Yeah, exactly. That has to be the focus in his mind right now, is to be fit to play.
Yeah, I'm hoping that this is just, hey, my best case scenario, I'm hoping that, you know, my back is tight.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have affected some other parts of my body. I need some rehab, you know, on that. And I just haven't had time to practice. But it's not anything that's long-term a huge issue. That's the best-case scenario, and that he'll be, you know, able to play. It'd be great to see him play in Austin if he can't play here at the match play. And then get some reps. You know, maybe Valspar. Maybe he can play next week. I don't know.
He's never had a lot of success here with this game, except, you know, he's won twice, but before that he really always didn't really
play that
well.
But it's a big tournament. It's a benchmark tournament for him to miss.
It is. That I was shocked when I saw that he wasn't going to play.
I was devastated.
And there's something too, I mean, even Tiger Woods, we think he's just going to show up and he's going to shoot 66 every time. You know, Tiger, just like Rory, just like every player out there,
yeah,
he still deals with confidence. And if he struggled as he did with his game in L.A., and he's still a little uncertain as to where his body is, you show up at Augusta with those ghosts floating around.
Bad voodoo.
You know, you got a lot to overcome. Not to say that he can't, but that's a heavy challenge for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any word out of his camp?
From what I understand, it's just not back, it's a little tight. It's just not ready in his game and his body, but it's nothing to be concerned about.
Is his big number right now focused on the 18 majors?
No, I think he wants to win every time he tees it up. I think every time you play at a PGA Tour event, it's so hard. I mean, heck, if he wins another one, I mean, he's the greatest PGA Tour winner ever. I think whether it's a major championship, this championship, Bay Hill, you name it, wherever he plays, I think he would love to win and be competitive. I think he went, it's interesting watching his progression after coming back from the spinal fusion surgery. Hey, I just want to go out and play, that's what he said. Okay, I can come out and play. Now I want to contend, okay, I can do that. Now I want to win, and now I can do that. Now I'm interested where he is now in his head. I believe he still thinks when he tees it up, my main goal is to win. But I hope this isn't a setback. You know, we've heard this song for a long time, and I feel bad for him. I mean, the fragility of his body is just,
oh gosh.
You know, considering you could argue he's the greatest ever, definitely greatest of this generation, and you know his body has obviously gone through a lot. It's just some people are just like that. I mean, unfortunately, Jason Day. Look at him. He's a great player too. His back continues to give him problems. it's just, you know, the way God made us. And so, unfortunately, yeah. he's just had to battle through that, which makes me appreciate what he's done even more. He's had to fight all of these things.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know everything he's been through. And as you say, the word fragility, which is bang on, but you watch him and you think, oh my gosh, and you almost have to like sit back and take stock for everything he's been through and the fact that he can still go out and swing that club that way.
Well, you mentioned Jason Day, and on Friday at Bay Hill, I was coming out of the locker room as he was coming in with his caddy, and he was wincing in pain. I mean, he was grimacing.
Really?
So, yeah. So Jason Day is having some trouble, too, and he's always had some of that kind of trouble.
Francesco Molinari, who, by the way, has had three or four top tens the last 5 or 6 years here at the Players. He's, you know, will he play this week after pulling out because of back issues?
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about another issue that occurred yesterday. Our good friend, Ernie Els.
Yes.
Takes the tournament. It was an exciting time for Ernie. Freddie, a lot of players were up there nipping at his heels.
Todd's got a very close relationship with Ernie Els and
yes,
his foundation. You're down there every year.
Yeah.
I'm. Yeah, it was cool to watch. I can't remember how many starts now. Is it third or fourth
start?
Third.
Third start.
Third start on the PGA Tour Championship.
A playoff and a win. And then
yeah. I think he put those guys on notice.
I think so.
And he also made a commitment to play more on the PGA Tour Champions after. He wants to chase down the Charles Schwab Cup. There's no doubt about it. He wants to have that on his resume. And I think this has been a rejuvenation for him. Ernie's in the World Golf Hall of Fame for a reason. And be it age, be it players that are unfortunately better than him right now, it's on the PGA Tour. I felt like he probably wouldn't admit it, but I kind of, you know, knowing him, he's a little bummed. You know, I just may not have it as much as I did in my 20s, which is obvious.
Sure.
Who wouldn't think that? So for him to have to come out here and win, when I say here, the PGA Tour Champions, and to do it amongst people that he's competed against
exactly.
is friendly with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's enjoyable.
Absolutely.
He's out there. He doesn't have to worry about money. He's got all the money in the world. He's taken care of. But to go out there and have fun with his friends and compete, that's what he wants.
You think Phil will start playing at any events?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, he keeps saying no, as long as he keeps hitting bombs. But, I'm sure he wants to hit his bomb straight. That's the big key, and that's something he's fighting right
Not
now.
Not off the roof of the hospitality tent.
The other thing Ernie as well, the President's Cup captaincy, that must have been a rejuvenation as well, being around those guys. And it seems like the international team had such great camaraderie.
It did. I was in Melbourne, and it was bittersweet for Ernie. Yeah. I mean, he got them so close, and he had such a great group that would run through any wall for him and to have it right there in front of you and then obviously have it snatched away.
Bye, Tiger.
It was tough. I he's made the announcement he's not going to return as captain again with the international team, and we talked at length about that. He said it just took so much out of him. And I wonder how he would have felt if he'd won. I wonder if he would be saying, it took so much out of me, but it was so gratifying. And I still think it was gratifying for him.
Sure.
But I wonder if he had actually won and beaten the odds, if his attitude would be different. But he elevated that international team, elevated the status of the President's Cup as he continues to give back to the game. And obviously, he's in a good space in his life, I think, and, you know, wish nothing but the best for him.
Well, let's certainly need to mention the Els for Autism Foundation, which does a lot of good for autistic children and people, whatever I should say. So, and you host that event every year, gala at the end of the year.
I tell you, I'll be honest, when they asked me to do this 6 or 7 years ago, I didn't really know much about autism, and which I regret for being uninformed and somewhat seemed it made me feel selfishly sheltered that I just am not I don't have an awareness of this because it is common autism out there. A lot of young boys, girls, men and women are on the spectrum and have done wonderful things.
Sure.
I can think that's the biggest thing that I've learned from all this, that even if there are kids that are on the spectrum, it's not an obstacle. It's still very much an opportunity. There are great, great people in the working force that are autistic that do remarkable things. If you ever have a chance to go down to the to the L Center of Excellence, it'll change your life. To see the perfect blend of science and love there is remarkable. And what they do for not only the kids, but for the families. Because
support groups.
It's just, I mean, I could just imagine, you know, that your families, your parents, and you're being told, hey, your son or daughter is autistic, and you just don't know what that means. And then all of a sudden, how's my child going to cope in society? Mm-hmm. And they give them, the family, so much hope and encouragement. And it really is. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And the money that they raise, and everybody with the Els Golf Challenge Series across the nation, if you're listening and you get a chance to play in one of those great events, do it. You will have an awesome time because you get to play on iconic golf courses, help raise a lot of money, and go from there.
Well, you said the word obstacle, and I think the biggest obstacle to autism is the general public's lack of understanding of it. I think that's the biggest obstacle.
Yeah, I could agree with that. There's a lot of people that are misinformed. Like I said, I didn't know much about it, but that, man, I'm just so impressed. There are many great charities across our globe, but what they have done under Ertie's umbrella has been tremendous. And Liesl L. I want to give Liesl L. his wife a tremendous amount of credit as well.
Absolutely.
Well, you look at the stats from 2004 when it was 1 in 166 kids to now 1 in 59 kids have autism.
Gosh.
So that's a great thing
to do. Jen Holloway is still involved in that?
Yep.
A lot of great people there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you talk about, I mean,
we're blessed.
Albert Einstein was on the spectrum. Lionel Messi, the great soccer player, on the spectrum. You know, so just a couple examples. So just, I mean, it's and they're people that are, I mean, they're kids that can compute numbers and do things that it would just blow your mind. So it's a wonderful thing that Ernie and Liesl and those great people down in South Florida are doing.
And it certainly helps that he just won on the PGA Tour Champions and to bring greater awareness to it. So
absolutely.
Congratulations to our good friend Ernie Els and his whole team there at the Els for Autism Center, as well as his management team, who we all know. And
Mr. Rob Goulet.
Mr. Goulet. Yeah, good man. Todd Lewis is with us. If you don't know that voice, then you don't listen to golf. But Todd's a good friend of this show and a good friend of ours personally and has been forever. Brendan Sweeney joining us from the French Lick Resort. Diane Knox from Secret Golf and Golf Talk America. And
last time we were all together was at the Masters.
I can't believe it was that long ago.
So we're going to take a quick break. Let Todd get to work to his real job on the television that none of us are allowed on. Well, Diane would be. But
yes.
Not you.
I was going to say, he's the one with a face for TV here.
Todd's got the look. Gosh. He does. He's a great friend. Todd Lewis, thank you for taking time out.
My pleasure.
We really appreciate it. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we'll be right back in just a minute. Let's just fade out that music. We're back. And let you continue to do your Beyonce song.
If you like it, you want to put a ring on it?
Yeah, well, something like that. I'll tell you what. We're a smooth, running, oiled machine
here
at Golf
Talk
America. We're
all in a singing mood today, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Everybody's in a good mood today. It's the Players Championship.
And we're young and we're in love.
And we're back together, guys.
Yeah, we're back together.
It's
got the band back together.
And we just had a great bandmate. Todd Lewis, just leave us. What a great guy he is. Huh?
He's the best. Todd is the best. Todd's a singer. Did you know that?
Yes.
He sang with a rock band.
A boy band.
Really?
Yes.
He looks boy bandish.
Well, Todd, I hope you appreciate that comment.
He's got the teeth and the tan.
Justin Lewis, or is it Bieber Justin Todd? Anyway, Frank Bassett, Diane Knox, Brendan Sweeney. We're back live at the Marriott Sawgrass for the 2020 edition of the Players Championship, my favorite tournament. And it does have a pretty good little first place prize, does it not, Brendan Sweeney?
$2.7 million.
You earn it at this tournament because they are the best players in the world, as Todd Lewis so eloquently said earlier today. So, guys, Diane, tell me this. What's going on with you guys this week? I know Secret Golf has a special game for SG Tour coming out, right?
Yeah, well, of course, Steve Elkington, who is the man behind Secret Golf and the SG Tour.
Who?
They call him the Elk.
Has he played here before?
Well, a few times.
Yeah, I think
he's won it twice.
They wouldn't let him through his own gate, though.
That's a great story. He's going to be here. He's arriving later today, and he'll be
We're
on the show
bust
tomorrow.
Him. We're
so
bust
we'll let him,
him
tell
that,
that story.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Tell us about SG Tour.
Well, we've got 12 of our players in the field this week, so we'll be catching up with them and spending some time with them. You know, talking about the season so far, how they prepare for this tournament. You know, it really is. It's a benchmark tournament of the season, and. We're going to hit it so many times. It's like the fifth major. But it really is like the big tournaments that's kick-starting.
It kick-starts major season.
This summer season. Yeah. So we're going to be talking to all of the guys about that. But we also have this app called the SG Tour.
Yes.
So if you go into the app store on your phone, you can find it. And really, we're getting you inside the game and inside the minds of our PGA Tour players. So the game is so fun. We play it every week, and we have a podcast that comes out on hopefully tomorrow, actually, talking about making picks. Because let's be honest, we sit down, and it's the first thing we talk about is who do you think is going to do well this week?
Yeah.
And the way that the app is set up is you can play lots of different games, but the four-ball game is my favorite one to play. So you have to make your team selections before the end of Wednesday. And then you have four tiers, and they're based on the official world golf ranking heading into this week. So you have to pick a guy in tier A, B, C, and D. And then it's the lowest aggregate score over the course of the 4 days. So it's great fun because, you know, I'm on my phone all the time now on the SG Tour app following the leaderboard because I want to see the leaderboard for the tournament, but I want to see how I'm doing against everyone else. So we have free games in there that you can play along.
It's like the Peloton of golf.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can say you wanted to set up a game. You could go in and do that, and you could invite us to all be part of it. So we could have like a little private game, and you can set the stakes. So if you want to play for like $10 or $20, $50, whatever, we put that money into the pot, and then we're competing against each other.
Okay, so I invite you and Brendan, let's say.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to do a $50, or let's say $10, do it right, a $10 game. You each put in, all three of us put in 10 apiece.
Yes.
Is there one winner?
So you can split it up a few different ways. You could have it winner takes all, or you could have it like the PGA Tour payout structure and do it that way so we all get a little bit of money. But yeah, it's completely up to you, and you can invite as many people as you want to play in your game. So then it gets really interesting. Elk's always got a game going on, and you know him very well. He talks a good game. Right?
Yes, he does.
So he'll start the week and he'll be like, no one's going to beat me. He'll never tell what his picks are. And you can only see what everyone else has picked once the game is locked in end of Wednesday. So you can go in and like change your team up until then. But I'm not going to see what you've picked until it's locked in and it's too late to make any changes.
So what if I pick Jordan Spieth and you pick Jordan Spieth?
That's fine. Like if we pick the same team, that's absolutely fine. We were just finished on the same points. The problem is, and Jay Kaplan, who does the podcast with me on a Tuesday, looking at the game for the week. He talks about the course, he talks about the field, and we make our picks together. But you have to pick guys that are going to make the cut. And when it comes to tier C and tier D, because, well, you get docked 10 points or 10 points added on to your aggregate score. Yeah. So if your guy misses the cut, then you're in trouble.
That I don't like that.
Yeah.
That's not good.
But we have lots
of
different
games. How do you get to it again? Where is it?
It's called the SG Tour in the App Store. And we have lots of different games you can go and play. We've actually got a new game this week called Money Grabber, which is a lot of fun. And we have one-day games
as
well.
Sounds like my ex-wife.
Which one?
Stop it.
You had to say that, didn't you? But we also have one-day games. So if you want to do like an opening day game, you can do that for Thursday only. You can do a game for Friday, Saturday. Sunday closing day is always a fun one too. If you want to do like a one-day game, then you can go on and pick your team of four guys that you think is going to do best on closing day. Moving day on Saturday, of course.
This sounds like fun.
It is fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's just what I really like about it is I consume golf religiously throughout the whole week. But once the tournament starts, you know, I'm checking leaderboards nonstop.
So
no matter where
you're
going to
set
I'm
up
doing.
A game, obviously.
Yeah, you can do it and do it through the app because it's like it's an added incentive because obviously you're checking the leaderboards.
I'm downloading it right now as we
but
speak.
But we're playing against each other.
So you and Jay are going to do it. So you and Jay are going to send Brendan and I an invitation to play in your game.
Uh-huh, and we'll get Elk in there too.
How much is it per player?
Well, let's start with $10. To be honest, I'm quite tight because I'm Scottish. I don't like to gamble a lot. Not gamble. It's the wrong word to use. But I don't like to put a lot of money into the pot.
I just want a lot of money.
Sweeney just want a lot of money. You should be buying the booze tonight.
What do they say? You have to speculate to accumulate.
That's a good, I know about that.
It's all about logistics these days, isn't it?
It is all about logistics.
It is about logistics. And we love logistics here at Golf Talk America.
Brown sock guys are pretty damn sexy, I hear. Especially when they're from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yes. That's as far as we're going to carry this, and we'll leave it alone.
It's a forced carry, Frank.
It's a forced carry.
Absolutely.
We had some of those yesterday.
But if you have the proper logistics, you could get there very quickly.
Hey, let's do a quick shout-out also to Marriott Sawgrass, of course, our host this week, Mr. Mark Carnival going by. Hey, Carney.
There, jump on.
You
want to
grab a headset and come on?
Oh, he's big time.
Oh, okay. There he's not. He's busy. He's busy. Catch you later. Mark Carnival, who's on the PGA Tour play-by-play team this week, will be working the course. So
one of my favorite things about this week, because we're outside the Starbucks in the Sawgrass Marriott, and this is like the hub of activity. Everyone's here. We've seen so many players, caddies, families, agents, tour reps, everyone already today.
Well, so last night at Nona Blue, we're having a late dinner. And Matthew Fitzpatrick is sitting across the bar from us.
Really?
With his manager.
You got to go there.
I'm going there. And so we're watching a replay, Diane, of
they're showing the highlights.
Showing highlights. And Fitzpatrick, chokes on a putt.
He missed the putt.
He missed the putt badly. Okay? He missed it badly. And Brendan screams out.
I did not scream that out.
Yes, you did. You said, hey, man, you suck.
I didn't say that.
Do you know how loud your voice is? No. Are you aware of that?
And there was nobody in the bar.
And it was packed. And he started laughing. Everybody laughing. It was all in good fun. So we had a good time.
You are something else, aren't you?
I know. It's good.
We're used to it.
It is. But I tell you what, we're looking forward to a great week. It's always great seeing you, Frank. Sometimes it's even better to see
other people than you.
So are we golfing today?
You spend more time with me, as your wife says, you spend more time with me than you do with her.
Yeah, guys, are we making picks right now? I would like to see the course. Yeah, I want to see the course first and do a little bit of scouting, check out the range, see who's out there. Yeah, I like to be informed with my picks.
Why don't we have a game that picks? Do y'all have a game? I should ask it this way. Do you have a game that picks who's not going to make the cut?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love the negative side of things. That's great stuff.
Seriously.
We do.
It's called Under the Bus?
Trunk Slammer.
Trunk Slammer. Okay. Yeah. Trunk Slammer.
Trunk Slammer special.
Yeah, go into the app. There's a lot of different games, but it is fun. And we have a lot of the guys doing strategy for different holes at TPC Sawgrass.
Do I have to put up my bank account number in this thing?
Well, do you have PayPal?
Yes.
Listen, I'm going to help you.
It's called the other guy.
I'll get it set
Frank,
up.
Frank with PayPal. He's
all
like
he needs
is
a
alligator.
PayPal account. Once you have a PayPal account set up, it's very, very easy.
I'm not. Who picked up the tab at Marsh Landing yesterday?
Oh, you did.
I know.
Yes.
I was going to say thanks for the invite, but I did get an invite, actually.
You were playing with your significant boyfriend yesterday.
My significant boyfriend.
Well, I wanted to say
he's my only one.
Does he know that? Does he know about that guy in Philly? Never mind. We won't go there.
Don't even be mean. Because that's just
it's all about logistics,
we
Frank.
We love you, Diane Knox. We love you to death, and you know that. You're the best.
Thank you.
We love Secret Golf. We love Mr. Elkington. Jay Kaplan, the man.
The coach.
The coach. The baseball legend. Coach. Absolutely. Wolfson High School, Jacksonville, Florida. Yes, sir. He's giving back to the kids and the community, and he looks like Tim Corbin to me. He looks like Vanderbilt's coach. He's got that look, that baseball coach look.
What?
He does. Anyway, Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Club Corp. Thank you, French Lick Resort, for your sponsorship. And we appreciate it very much.
Let's go see what Pete Dye did a long time ago.
Yeah.
And this is our first time back at TPC that Mr. Dye won't be around. So
it is. This course was, let's say, he did Harbortown, then he did Oak Marsh, then he did TPC Sawgrass. So Oak Marsh, which is at Amelia, will be there this week also doing some live shows at the end of the week at Amelia Island Plantation on another Pete Dye course. We'll play that one too. So it's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a crazy busy week, and it's going to be like old home week here at the Marriott Sawgrass Resort. Thanks again to Brendan Sweeney, to Diane Knox. Special thanks to Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel for coming in and having some fun with us. And we will catch you guys tomorrow live from the Marriott Sawgrass.